Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everyone in between or irrespective of that binary, pull up a chair and put down your chips. It's time for Tabletop Roulette. Today's game is... Masks, A New Generation, a superhero tabletop role-playing game full of action, youthful angst, and dazzling bravery. You can call me Andy because that's my name, I use he, him pronouns, and I will be your GM.
Howdy, hello! This is Rolando Garcia, I use he, him pronouns, and I'm playing Axel, the Bull. You can find me online on Twitter as Jalapeno Supreme.
Hi, this is Eric. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm playing Faustus, also known as Warlock, the Doomed. You can find me online at Prime Factor X01, or as a silky smooth fey on Shadows of St. Fleur, or as the delinquent Quint on Otherwhere.
Hi, I'm Alice Kira. My pronouns are she, her, and fey fair, and I play Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better, the Doomed. You can find me on Twitter, Magical Girl Kira.
Hey, I'm Ara. My pronouns are currently she, her, and I play Odyssey / Nico the Nomad.
Hi, my name's Connor. I use he, him pronouns. I'm playing Cameron, or Vaporwave, the Delinquent Playbook, and you can find me on Twitter at Conador Crunch.
Hi, my name is James Malloy. My pronouns are he, him, and I play Forgefire, the Newborn. You can find me on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns or on the Protean City podcast.
I'm Lauren. My pronouns are he, him, and I play Technovore, the Transformed. You can find me on the Nerds on a Roll podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, on Twitter at DM_LSP, and you can buy the games that I write at DMLSP.itch.io.
Hi, my name is Jeremy. My pronouns are he, him. I'll be playing Strix the Reformed, whose pronouns are they, them. You can find me running my own podcast on Twitter at Apex CityCast.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Haas. My pronouns are she, her, and they, them. And I play Amber, aka Paleo Girl, the Beacon. You can find me on the podcasts LGBT&D, Arcadia, California, and Breathing Space Fading Frontier. Or on Twitter at Alpaca My Books, where I advertise the dozens of other podcasts I'm on.
We left off with Axel and Odyssey in Building B, looking down on Warlock, Vaporwave, Forgefire, Technovore, and Paleo Girl as they watched one of the buildings transform into a giant fucking robot. So the obvious place to start this issue is with Strix and Alexa on their way to go get Thai food.
Yeah.
What's going on with the two of you? How are you all making your exit? What's going on? Set us a scene there.
So as I recall, I believe it was Silverback and Marionette had basically let us leave the prison.
Yeah.
And I think as soon as we are sort of outside the building, Strix is going to kind of like stop and look over. Okay. So, not for nothing. Definitely take me up on this, but I do have a job to do.
A job to do?
Yeah. I didn't come here for a date. I came here to, stop a child soldier program.
Oh, that could be a date.
Seems like priorities. Speaking of which, question, why are you here, speaking of child soldiers?
Okay, I mean, technically I'm not a soldier, because Shell has, like, it's like a bifurcated thing, where I'm not actually part of the military wing of it.
Oh, so you're just like a junior Shell, like Shell youth.
Kinda. Oh, that sounds, it sounds extra bad when you say it like that.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah, no, I get it. No, I do, I just... So look, are we getting Thai food or not?
So look, here's my offer to you, because I am
hungry.
No, I understand that, but I also don't date cops. So here's my offer to you. Somewhere around here, there is a whole ass child soldier program, and I'm going to go make that not a program anymore. If you would like to come along with me, you are more than welcome to.
A child soldier thing where they're like giving kids superpowers kind of thing?
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Oh yeah, that's on sub-level 13.
Cool, so it seems like you seem to know how to get there.
Yeah, I broke my way out of there a couple months ago.
Oh well, would you like to help me break my way into there?
Can we get Thai food real quick? Because you said Thai food, and it's going to be on my mind if I don't get it.
Thai food, super soldiers.
I am kind of on a strict time limit, so the faster we do this, the more time there is for Thai food.
Yeah, but the thing is, after I stop y'all, then I'm not going to have the freedom to go get Thai food. It's kind of a...
Okay, look, let's make our way in that direction, and we can make a decision about this on the way. What do you mean you're not going to have time afterwards? Are you going back to Shell? Is that what I'm gathering here?
Yeah, I kind of only get clearance to leave when I'm actually out on missions, so it's like a...
Oh, you need clearance to leave?
Yeah, there...
How old are you?
I'm 16.
Uh-huh. And they make you, what, sign out so that you can go on dangerous superhero missions for them?
Pretty much, yeah. It's kind of a, I don't know, work study, but that doesn't sound right. It's kind of a, I do some light police work, I guess, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they help me not explode.
Is that like a present issue? Like, how likely is it that you're going to explode here?
I'm going to like pull my glove off, and my fingers have like little tiny glowing purple cracks starting to run down them. Like, I probably got a couple hours left before it's like a huge issue, but.
Oh, neat. Well, that's plenty of time then. All we got to do is, get in, wreck their machinery, and get back out. Easy peasy.
Lemon squeezy.
Sweet. Lead the way.
Okay.
Okay, so you all are making your way towards the Child Super Soldier Department,
mm-hmm.
while also debating going for Thai food. I'm going to throw a third option at you all, because there is also a building-sized giant robot mech that has started transforming in the background of these panels. And... yeah, y'all gonna do anything with that, or are you on your way to Super Soldier Land?
I feel like Strix at least has some sort of communicator built into their, like, helmet. So I might check in with the team right quick. And I think they just, like, kind of, like, tap the side of the helmet. Hey, Vape? Vape.
Vaporwave is going to call back out to Paleo Girl. Can you answer that? I can't. My hands. If you could answer the communicator.
Yeah, sure. And if you, like, at any point you want to stop fucking around with RoboCop, that'd be awesome. How can I help you, Strix?
Yeah, giant robot, are you on that?
Yeah, Vaporwave is just kind of, like, getting handcuffed. But we'll deal with it. Don't worry about it.
Why? You know what? Look, you got this. I believe in you. I believe in you specifically, Amber. Not necessarily Vaporwave. You specifically got this.
Can you tell them that I can still hear that?
Yeah, I know.
Quick check, Strix. Is that a label shift?
Shit. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that feels like a label shift.
It does. I am shifting superior up and mundane down.
I accept it.
So I feel like you're competent, right? Cool. Anyway, I'm going to go stop a child super soldier program, and I'll just cut the line.
Okay, have fun.
At that point, I want to cut to Technovore. You were wading out into a sea of Baxter bots in an attempt to get some noms on. You want to throw me a couple of panels up?
Right. So I think the last panel we saw of Technovore, I said he had like run out there and was just full on like mouth first diving onto a Baxter bot. How durable are these things?
Comic book mook durable.
Right. So like engaging one of them probably isn't like directly engage a threat. Do I have some like freedom to play around with that here?
Yeah, you've got some freedom for like a couple of panels. You're still going to be making that roll just because there's so goddamn many of them.
Right, yeah, now. That's kind of what I figured. Them all together is the threat. And so like I think it's just Technovore like dives onto that first one, just takes a huge chunk out of it and like, you know, throws what's left of that Baxter bot into another. And as you said, they were kind of swarming this courtyard. So I feel like we just see him like taking a bite here, ripping an arm off of one and smashing something with it as they pile on top of him and eventually almost like blot him out, kind of forming this just like dome of bodies, because as we see each panel he's getting slightly bigger and bigger and bigger, and I think like by the end of it we get to the point where we get to his like, I guess, true form. It's not really like the biggest he usually gets without having to consume a huge amount of technology is like Hulk sized. And I think like that's kind of where he's at this point. This is like Technovore, but like 1.2. He's like big and bulky and Hulk size, just like trying to rip these things off of him, and like pulls one out and just like bites it in half. It should be absolutely horrifying to look at. There is like giant bulging like muscles, but like cables just popping out of his arms. There are like, you can see parts of Baxter bots are like being like enveloped and integrated into his body. And so like where you might see like muscle, it's like thick cords of muscle and cabling and like pistons and actuators. And it's not great. It should definitely have a big body horror vibe.
Love it. You want to roll to directly engage that threat for me?
I do. And in typical me fashion, I get a 4.
All right. Those of you that are on sort of the nearby outskirts of this action see Technovore going through all this, and he's taking robots down. He's growing in size as he eats and consumes these Baxter bots. But there's just one after another piling on top of him until such a point that we don't see Technovore on the panel anymore. I want to check in with Forgefire. You've got Vaporwave in handcuffs. What are you doing as all of this is going down? Because there is quite a scene in front of you by this point.
Yeah, we're kind of a little bit spread out, right? Like, we're not right next to Paleo Girl and the rest of them, right?
Not right next. You're a good couple feet back.
So I think we were still inside, too. So I think I'm going to be leading Vaporwave outside towards the rest of the group. And just sort of keeping an eye on what's going on with Technovore. I'm a little skeptical of how that's all going down, but I'm also really concerned that there is no one from my team here. I appear to be alone. And so I'm going to try to get on the comms and call over our group comms line and just be like, I seem to be here all by myself. Where are the rest of you?
I'm pursuing a suspect. Oh no, they slipped past. They're going into the building. I gotta follow this guy. They could cause a lot of damage.
Odyssey, are you all right?
I have a very big dragon.
I think that's a good time to cut over to Odyssey. Odyssey, you, Axel, and the Blue Bomber are on the upper levels of, I believe, the prison building. You have a pretty good look at what's going on. Ari, the Baxter bots, and the anarchist. And you also see the giant building that has transformed into a mech and is making its way over towards them. What are the two of you doing?
Well, first, Axel is going to walk up to Odyssey and give him a big hug and just say, God, I miss you. Oh my God, you dork, what are you doing? What is up? As he's just, there's a lot of power in it, but you can tell that he is not trying to like do any kind of damage. He is just giving you a literal, just big bear hug.
Love you too, buddy, but there's a lot going on right now.
Well, yeah, of course, but like, I miss you. Come on.
Yeah, there's a guy eating robots out there somewhere.
Wait, is there? And Axel will like let you go and look outside and kind of like peek out and it's like, oh shit, there is.
You're telling me you're not with those?
Wait, who, me?
Yeah, you
I just woke up.
I see your partner down there and he points at Warlock. This being the blue bomber, by the way.
Yeah.
Points at Warlock and just says, what can you tell me about what's going on down there?
There's a guy out there who's eating robots. Vaporwave is in handcuffs. And he's just saying what they can see. Because that's all he knows.
Blue Bomber pulls an arm back and just punches his way through the window. And he's gonna, like, try to jet his way out towards the group. Unless somebody tries to stop him.
I took out his ability to fly.
He's gonna try.
Oh.
How you react to that is up to you.
I'll try to grab at his back and it's like, that's not a good idea, bud.
Would you like to roll to defend the blue bomber for me?
Sure.
Please do.
I'm not great at this, but sure.
That makes it better.
Let's go for it. Almost there.
I can use a team to assist. I will also reach out to try and help Axel.
Okay, so between the two of you, you are able to bring that up to a 7. Axel, would you like to add a team to the pool, take influence over Blue Bomber, or clear a condition?
Ah, I was going to clear a condition, but taking influence over Blue Bomber sounds like a good idea. I want to do that one. I want to take influence.
Didn't you already have influence over Blue Bomber? Or no, that was Baxter, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, Vaporwave has it over Baxter.
Hmm.
I'll take influence over Blue Bomber. And I think what this looks like is he puts a hand on his shoulder and is like, you don't want to do that. And he keeps going anyway. And he pulls him back and it's like, you don't need to do this. Stop, please. Think about this for a second.
Blue, I can help you get down there without risking hurting yourself without the
jets. Quick check before Odyssey says that. Did you want to expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation, Axel?
The situation's already escalated enough. Why not a little more? Let's escalate the situation.
As you grab Blue Bomber and pull him back into the building, he slams you into a wall, like using your momentum along with his own. And like, he puts an arm across your chest. He says, you don't get to tell me what I need to do. I need to protect my Baxter. Bryant Baxter, I need to protect him.
Your Baxter. Ooh.
Is he trying to protect you? Does he care about you at all? Or you're fighting for this person who doesn't care. He's using you. Why don't you see it? Please listen.
I'm protecting him for the future. You don't get it.
A future where he controls everyone.
A future where he's not fucking dead.
And I'm going to, Axel's going to put a hand on top, like just grabbing at his arm. And says, he's using you as a weapon. I know this because he used me as a weapon.
Don't get it. I came to be a weapon.
But you can be a hero. If I can do it, you can.
What am I trying to do to save his life?
Why are you trying to save him so bad?
Because he's my grandfather. And then I want to cut back to Strix and Alexa. What's going on with the two of y'all? Making your way towards the prison building, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think on the way, Alexa's going to be like, so, like, what can you even do? Do you have powers? Because I'm going to have to put on an act, and I don't want to hurt you.
Now, when you say put on an act, just, like, casually dodging that question, what did you have in mind?
Well, I mean, clearly, if through the process of pursuing a suspect, they were to, say, avoid my attack and I accidentally smashed open the wall that hides the secret elevator down to the sub-basements,
Oh, I see. So you want me to run towards it so you can break a wall. Yeah, I can do that. I can put on a show.
Don't blame me if you get hurt, though.
I'll be fine. So speaking of, what do you explode? Is that your thing? Is that what I should be on the lookout for here? Or?
Oh, no. If I explode, best estimate, Pinnacle City won't be here anymore.
Okay, so avoid explosions. Cool. Good
what I'm to trying. Know.
Good to know. Is that what Shell has on you? This whole, like, you're going to explode thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like they...
So just hypothetically.
Okay.
If we could solve that in a different way, right? Like, because I don't know your specifics, and frankly, I don't think we have time to discuss it right now. But if we could get around you exploding in a way that didn't require you working for Shell, would you be working for Shell?
Oh, definitely not.
Sweet. Because
they don't even have Thai food in the cafeteria. Like, they're monsters.
Cool. I got to make a call right quick. So, sorry, I guess we do have a minute. Is this like a magic thing, or is this like an alien technology thing, or is this like a mutation thing? What you got going on here? What's the nature of this?
So, you know, the super soldier program.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I got involuntarily put through the super soldier program, and they gave me all of them.
Oh, that don't sound good.
And you're not supposed, apparently you're not supposed to have all of the superpowers.
Yeah, no. Quick check-in. What's the framing like of this conversation? Are you all just like casually making your way across the compound, or?
I mean, I guess.
I know Strix is definitely very job oriented, so they're not just like casually strolling across. I had definitely moving with some intent, right?
Okay, but are you trying to be stealthy, or are you just like point A to point B?
I think that depends on Alexa.
Alexa definitely wants to try and keep up appearances, so maybe trying to be stealthy for a bit.
Okay. I would like for one of you to roll to unleash your powers to get over there. I'll let you all decide which one wants to take point.
Alexa is leading the way, since Strix only vaguely knows where this is at.
Okay, I can do that. I'm good at things. I'm good at things. I got an 8.
Okay, in that case, you can mark a condition or the effect is unstable or temporary.
Cool. I think I'm going to mark insecure, because I'm not sure why I'm saying all this, and it feels kind of weird to say all this, but it also kind of, I don't know, it's a weird night. But also, I think I'm hitting share vulnerability or weakness, because I am saying that I'm going to die soon.
Yeah, it feels like we're definitely getting there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to read that out for us, please?
Sure. When you share a vulnerability or weakness with someone, give them influence over you and ask if they honestly think there's hope for you. So I get to mark that on my sheet that you have influence over me. And I think just like, so like, you think you can like actually help with this? Because I mean, Shell's got like a ton of resources, and right now it's like, well, we can keep it on hold for a while.
Yeah. Let me throw something at you that you may not have considered quite yet, because this is your first time working for a giant fascist organization, I would imagine. This is not my first rodeo. You have lots of power, and you have to sell out to Shell in order to stay alive, which means they have a vested interest in keeping your situation as it is now. I have friends who don't have that problem.
And that they don't have lots of powers, or?
No, and that they don't have any reason not to cure you. Or at least not to make your life what it is right now, right? Because right now you are beholden to the people that did this to you in order to continue to be alive.
I mean, no, Shell didn't do this to me. My fucking jerk-ass uncle did this to me.
Oh, yeah. Who are you working for right now?
I mean, no, yeah, no. Like, I broke out of here and I took refuge with Shell.
Uh-huh. And who does Shell have you running errands for right now? Whose private property and private prison were you coming to defend here?
I mean, defend is a strong word. I ripped a hole through the ceiling.
Yeah, but you were responding to our break-in.
I mean, it's...
So I'm going to call some of my criminal friends who have bones to pick with both Shell and Baxter, and we're going to see what we can do for you.
Yeah. Okay. So that's hope. That's good. So I get to either mark potential or clear a box of my doom track. I'm going to do the fun thing and mark potential, which is number 5.
Yeah, I figured that would be your choice when I saw that four potential sitting over there.
Burn, baby, burn. That was my advancement. I get burned now.
Because, look, I've only known you for, what, like, 20 minutes? But you seem too cool to be an indentured cop.
I am really cool. I can't argue with that. I mean, yeah, if you can find something, sure. But until then, I really don't want to take out an entire city and also maybe die.
Yeah, well, we'll work on short-term solutions first.
Okay.
Meantime, you ready to do this? Is it going to cause trouble if people know who you are?
And I tap, like, the full face mask. I have, like, a giant welder's mask on. I'm like, that's what this is for.
Gotcha. Cool. Awesome. Let's do this.
Cool.
Okay. Anything you can do? How are you making your entrance into the big prison building?
What are the front doors like?
Like big metal, scan a card and they slide open. Comic book prison doors.
So what I'm going to do is there's like light posts and stuff around, right?
Sure.
Yeah, it's a campus. They got to have like lighting along the tracks. I'm going to grab one of those and chuck it over Strix's head, yelling, "Stay still already!" and just chuck it right through the front doors, but make it look like I'm trying to smash Strix with it.
All right. I want to cut over to the giant robot brawl that's going on. Warlock, we haven't heard much from you this session. What's going on with you? Technovore's under a pile of Baxterbot. Forgefire has Vaporwave and handcuffs, and Paleo Girl has just taken a call from Strix, but hasn't charged in to do any fighting yet.
I do want to say she's definitely, like, walking toward the fighting, but I need to have a little conversation with Forgefire at some point, so...
Yeah.
I'm gonna turn to Vaporwave and Forgefire.
One last thing. There's also a giant robot mech coming your direction. I just want to make sure everybody remembers there's a giant robot mech.
The building? What is the building exactly doing?
It is, like, stomping its way over. It moves pretty slow, so it's probably, like, an action or two away from you at this point. It also took, like, a non-zero amount of time to actually transform.
But is it, like, hurting people on the way over?
No, it's, like, on the way to put you all down. You all being the ones that are not aligned with Shell and Baxter. Like, on the way, as it stomps, it's leaving, like, indents in the ground and stuff. It's destructive in its movements, but not, like, intentionally so. Because it is piloted by Bryant Baxter, and this is his compound.
Okay.
So, yeah, all that considered. Warlock, what's up with you?
So, is the creepy one with the mouth with one of you two?
Many of you have mouths.
Do you mean Technovore?
Yeah. Does he need help? Do they need help?
Yeah, he needs help. And if the Tin Man over here wants to not maybe arrest a hero, we can all go fight this giant robot.
Yeah, I'd love to hang around and catch back up with you, Warlock, but I can't lose another teammate again doing the same stuff that I did before.
Okay, so... why is there now a giant building bot? I feel like I've missed a lot.
Because Bryant Baxter is a giant pile of coprolite.
Because you are trespassing here, and so I assume it is coming for justice.
Technically, I woke up here, so it was very hard to trespass unconscious. So I probably should belong here, I guess?
You are probably less at fault here than the rest of them.
Cool, so does that mean we're friends now?
We are at least not enemies for the time being.
All right. Cool. I'm going to take that as friends. So I'm going to go help the weird one with the mouth now. So I am going to go slowly and almost casually float over to this pile of robots that's on top of Technovore and just shout into it. Hey, do you need help?
There's like a horrible crunching noise as like... his teeth just shred through some bit of Baxterbot and like spits it to the side and like puts a little hole and you can see his like big weird stoplight eye. And what does Technovor say? I don't have cool cheesy lines like all y'all. Specifically you, James. You're the best. You're so far, they've just been incredible. I think he just roars. Like, it's just this horrible, grating, awful roar. And then like his voice modulates down and he says, yes, I could use some help. And like just starts trying to tear these things off of him. But again, it's very much that like scene in Age of Ultron where like Hulk is being swarmed by all the robo bodies. And he's just like can't keep up. But he's just trying to bite things here, smash things there. I think now one of his fists has just turned into like a giant solid lump of rusty metal and he just like bashes a Baxter bot with it.
So I have a question. Would you still be considered the size of a person? Just a very big person.
I'm going to say no.
Okay, then that means I cannot use Snatch. I think then I would like to try and telekinetically pick up these robots and get them off of you.
All right, that sounds like you're defending Technovore.
Yep, a role that I am not particularly good at. Hey, that is an 8.
All right, let's cover the good side first. Would you like to add a team to the pool, take influence over Technovore, or clear a condition?
Let's clear a condition. So the way this looks is the panel or the camera is below Warlock, and the next panel shows his dark fire wings spread out, and he just points at this pile of robots and they start getting engulfed by this black fire and they slowly kind of just lift up and off of Technovore.
All right. And what condition are you clearing there?
I'm going to clear it insecure.
And then would you like to expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation?
Let's keep escalating the situation. Let's make this more fun.
Okay, so I think what happens... I'm sorry, describe for me one more time. What's it look like as you're telekinesising these robots? So
they're getting... they're catching on black fire and then slowly just kind of lifting up off of the ground in Technovore. And if these guys happen to have cool transforming powers, we could turn them into like some kind of weird Baxter Megazord. That would be an escalating situation, right?
That would, but what I think happens is, Warlock, you hear, does your cloak do, like, melodramatic whooshing when you use your powers?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I figured. On the panel, that actually gets, like, multiplied by probably, like, 10 times. It's really, really, like, even more melodramatic than usual. Because you realize there's a helicopter above you, and those of you that look up see a rope descend from the helicopter, and a large man made basically out of squares starts coming down the rope. A man that you have dealt with before by the name of Blitzkrieg.
Oh, hey. I'm just going to wave at him. Hey, Blitzkrieg. Good of you to show up. Are you going to disappear before this is all done again?
He drops down in very classic superhero landing, looks at you, cracks his knuckles, because he's a Bronze Era hero, cracks his neck just like by moving his head, and says, I'm here to defend the good guys, kid, and you ain't one of them.
Already proved to you that I wasn't. I filled out all the paperwork.
Quick check-in. Paleo girl, what's going on? You got the giant building mech that's like 3 seconds from destroying you all. You got a pile of robots on fire. You got Blitzkrieg about to attack Warlock.
Okay. So this giant building mech, it is actually a building with like robot legs and arms, right? And maybe
yes,
head?
It was a building and like the windows and structure of it shifted to such an extent that it is now like a Transformers style robot.
Okay.
But there's still like people inside of it.
So Paleo Girl is going to turn to Vaporwave and say, look, I need to get in that building. Are you going to teleport me or am I going on my own?
Vaporwave's going to look at Paleo Girl and say, yeah, I I think he's going to turn to Forgefire and say, look, you got to make up your mind right now. You're either a hero or a villain. But just so you know, Bryant Baxter is killing people. And I think he's going to grab Amber and teleport away up into the building if he can.
Okay, so quick check. How's Forgefire reacting to that?
I think he is still awfully confused. Who is still around me? It's like Technovore is here somewhere, and Warlock is here, and Blitzkrieg is here.
Warlock and Technovore are probably about 10 to 15 feet.
Okay, from but close.
You. Yeah, and then Blitzkrieg is about to punch the shit out of Warlock.
Ooh, I know Blitzkrieg, right?
Yes, Blitzkrieg is probably to Forgefire a hero. He's one of the higher ranking Shell operatives.
So I think that I run over to them, and I kind of even probably put myself, like, I'm going to stand in front of Blitzkrieg, regardless whatever they're doing. And so if that means that I'm putting myself between Warlock and Blitzkrieg, that's what I'm doing. And I'm going to say, Blitzkrieg, I have an inquiry. We are here to do good, correct? We are not here to do evil.
Right.
And is Bryant Baxter evil?
No, kid. He's keeping the city safe.
Then why do these people believe he is killing people?
Every villain thinks they're justified.
Then how do I know that you and I are not villains? I mean, I might be trying to, like, I think I might be trying to pierce his mask, like, to figure out if he's telling the truth here.
That is a good call. Roll to pierce his mask for me.
Okay.
I got caught up in the fiction there and forgot about roll.
There are rules.
Not something I'm good at. So I rolled a 3.
Okay, so I think what happens is, like, he looks at you and says, enough of this philosophical shit. And he's gonna charge and just, like, push Forgefire out of the way to attack Warlock. And, like, he sends you, like, it's not powerful blow crashing to the ground,
mm-hmm.
but, like, he sends you sprawled out as he's about to attack Warlock. And before we get your reaction, I want to check back with Axel and Odyssey, as Blue Bomber just said that Bryant Baxter's his grandfather. Now, logically speaking, Bryant Baxter is in, like, his late 20s, and Blue Bomber is, like, 16 or 17. I forget if I've given him an actual age, but somewhere in that range. Probably not old enough to be grandfather and grandson.
Axel will look just absolutely confused. Hey, Odyssey, do you get this?
We will get back to that scene in just a minute. Let's go to anything you can do in Strix. You all have just yeeted a light post through the front doors of a prison. What's going on with you? Sirens start going off. Mm-hmm. Baxter bots are soon to be converging on your location.
Yeah, I mean, now that the plan is in motion, Strix is just booking it down the hallway towards wherever the secret elevator is.
All right, what about Alexa?
I'm in dutiful pursuit of this suspect and criminal that I must arrest for my copperate overlords.
Why don't you tell us about the secret elevator that you're definitely not leading him to.
Definitely not leading him to. So, it's not like an actual entrance to the secret elevator, but, like, there is an elevator that runs from the top of the prison all the way to the secret sub-basement, because Bryant Baxter is just the worst and really needs his super secret express elevator to his private experiment chambers so that he can just, like, helicopter to the building he wants to be on and then go straight down. So what I'm going to do is just chase Strix through the building, throwing just debris when I can get a clear shot. And then once they're near, like, the central pillar area of the prison, I'm going to leap at them and hope that they duck under this big punch I'm going to do to punch straight through a wall into the elevator shaft.
Okay, quick check. As you all are making your way into this building,
mm-hmm.
there's definitely, like, a handful of Baxter security bots that are going to try to stop Strix. How are the two of you going to work to get past them?
So Strix is going to do two things. First is, as soon as we see them, they're just going to drop a smoke bomb because they carry lots of little smoke pellets. And second, once in the smoke cloud, they whip out their little collapsible staff to about the length of a single stick and, you know, quickly dispatch them inside the smoke cloud.
All right, Strix, that sounds like unleashing your powers for me.
Okay, that would be an 8.
Hey!
All right, mark a condition or the effect will be unstable or temporary.
I think I am going to mark... Now, you know what? Unstable or temporary, give it to me.
Okay, so you're dropping smoke pellets using your collapsible baton to take robots out. How are you doing that? Are you like baseball sliding and taking them out at the legs? What's this look like?
About how many of them are there? Like, just roughly.
Like 5 or 6. Just a small handful.
Okay. So Strix basically smoke bombs, slides under the legs of one, and hooks it with the hook on the end of that baton to send it into the ground, and then hand springs up to like double feet, plant another one into the wall. And then grab that one by the head with their legs and throw it into a fourth one.
All right. So I think you're able to take out these robots without too much trouble. But as the smoke and shadows start to clear, the shadows coalesce into the form of a human. And this human is a man of Asian descent. I forget if I... said he was Vietnamese. I think he was Vietnamese. He is dressed in like a very James Bond style, like secret agent suit and has a black domino mask on. This is the Living Shadow, who is part of our Avengers level team. He reaches out and grabs you from behind by like the back of what Strix wears. Is it like a
So they wear, it's kind of like a black body stocking with a like tattered cape and that, you know, all concealing helmet.
Okay, so yeah, he grabs Strix by like the back of their suit, like right below the base of the neck. How is anything you can do reacting as the Living Shadow has made his presence felt?
So the Living... They're like a big deal and a lot of people know a lot about them kind of thing.
Yeah, this is like one of the heroes in Pinnacle City.
Yeah, I think Alexa will like come up short, maybe put on a show of panting from exertion. Like, oh man, this was so tough for me to keep up with this totally normal human, and be like, oh wow. Ah, thanks. You finally got a hand on them. They're kind of slippery.
Seems like you could be doing a lot better if you want to be one of the future premier heroes in this city.
Rude. I mean, I guess I haven't really thought of that. Kind of new to the whole power thing, relatively speaking, I guess. I could take them from here. I'm sure you've got more important things to do than...
Roll to provoke someone for me.
Oh boy. I don't know how good I am at that. Let's go. I am a too good at that.
That's not too good.
Oh, no.
Snake eyes.
He looks at you and says, with all due respect, I think you better let a real hero handle this one.
I think that is the point at which Strix is going to do something, if you don't mind.
Okay, before you do, he's going to shift Alexa's labels. He wants to shift your savior down and your mundane up.
Yeah, I'm going to take that. I'm going through some stuff. It's been a night.
All right. And what's Strix going to do?
So when he says that Alexa's not a real hero, I think... So let me understand. Is he holding Strix off the ground or just like by the costume?
Just by the costume. Basically like a nun in a Catholic school just to reprimand you.
Okay. So as soon as he does that, Strix is going to turn... step directly into his instep, grab the arm over their shoulder, and try to throw him into the wall. And as he does that, he's going to go, yeah, well, real heroes don't defend fascists with private prisons, do they? And I'd like to trigger what the hell hero.
All right, can you read that out for me?
Sure. When you call out an injustice that a hero has perpetrated, roll plus danger. So I guess I should roll plus danger.
Yeah, you definitely hit the first part of that.
Oh no, that's a six.
Oh no.
Oh, do we have team in the pool?
You all do have one team in your pool.
Hmm. So it's up to Alexa then.
What would I be helping with? The yelling at the person or?
Really either of these. It's basically calling out an injustice that a hero has perpetrated. So the point of this is not that Strix is throwing them into a wall. It's that they're saying, hey, you're here to stop someone from breaking into a private prison.
Hmm. I don't think I can think of how I could, but I don't think that's a character thing that Alexa can do.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So on a miss, they dismiss you. And I have to mark a condition of their choice and then shift danger up and savior down. Neither of which I cannot do. So I'll be marking two conditions here.
So I think what happens is like you step in and sling them over your shoulder. And like as he flies through the air and hits the wall, he sort of like merges into his own shadow. And basically the way it looks is like the shadow slithers down the wall onto the floor. And he basically reforms into his sort of normal human appearance. And I think I'm going to ask you to mark hopeless.
Okay. And I will also mark angry because I cannot shift danger up.
And he looks at you, he says, I'm doing my job to help keep this city safe, kid.
Real good job of it you're doing, and Strix is just going to keep booking.
All right, what's Alexa doing?
Hey Andy, could I charge my burn?
Sure, what's that look like since you haven't done it before? Give us a couple panels.
I've never had it before. I think we can see like the purple cracks of light spread up through like it. Zooms in on the like gap between Alexa's glove and where the sleeve of her bodysuit starts, and we can see like the cracks spread along up her arms a bit more and some glow flare up behind her full face mask as I roll for burn. Oh, cool. That gave me a 9. So I just have to mark one condition.
What you gonna mark there?
I think I'm gonna mark guilty because I'm gonna feel bad about this. But I'm gonna see. But yeah, I think she kind of like overflowing with energy, and she's gonna be like, you got a point, Living Shadow. It's time I step up to the big leagues. And fun fact, I have a power I've never used before that doesn't require infinite powers. I have psychic constructs, and I'm going to hold out a hand as just like gleaming swords of purple energy form a barrier around the Living Shadow as I use my flare moat.
Okay, so you've got this moat of swords around him. What are you doing as he is, at least for the time, neutralized? I think he looks over at you and says, what do you think you're doing? You're teaming up with these anarchists?
Yeah, I think I'm, like, keeping my hand out pointed towards he-him for a Living Shadow.
Ah, yes, he-him pronouns.
So I'm going to keep my hand pointed out towards him as I like step around to the side that Strix ran down. I'm like, you got to do what you got to do. It's about what's good, not legal, right?
I think we get a panel of his eyes narrowing behind the domino mask. And let's cut back to the large team. As Forgefire has been knocked down to the ground, Blitzkrieg is charging Warlock. And there's a giant mech that is about to crush y'all. Warlock, what you doing?
Cool. So I'm not going to try to directly engage Blitzkrieg at the moment. I'm just going to try and, like, duck and weave and dodge him as best I can as I give a little speech here. Baxter isn't the hero that you're making him out to be. He's the one who called a bunch of teenagers who just saved the city from a rampaging gorilla and laid a trap for them in his own building and then tried to kill one of us. He's the villain here, and we're the ones trying to stop him. And what I am doing is I would like to use Bolstered to use Stand Up for something.
Okay. Is that part of your Doom track?
So Bolstered lets me use an adult move, and Stand Up for something is an adult move.
Okay. Let me check that adult move, because I'm not that familiar with them.
When you stand up for something, roll plus Savior. On a +10, choose 2. On a 7 and 9, choose 1. listeners cannot keep doing what they're doing, listeners cannot flee without addressing you, or listeners cannot attack you without losing status or position.
All right, go ahead and roll plus savior for me.
And would this count as, with Blitzkrieg as my target, so I can get that influence plus one?
Yes.
That is a 10. That is a full hit. So what I would like to choose is listeners cannot attack you without losing status or position, which my intent here is that if he keeps trying to attack me, then Forgefire sees this and makes Blitzkrieg lose status in his eyes. And I think let's go with listeners can't keep doing what they're doing, which is no, that doesn't really, because what they're doing is attacking me. So it doesn't make sense to really stack that on top of the other one. So they can't flee without addressing me. That's probably the best one.
Yeah, that feels thematically appropriate. I think we get a couple of panels over Forgefire's shoulder as Blitzkrieg is trying to attack you. And, like, he comes in with a right hand and you manage to move out of the way. He comes in with his left to try to grab you and you move out of the way and just keep saying, deliver your speech. And he says, you're the ones that created the villain that led to Filter's death.
None of us can do that.
Baxter is keeping the city safe with the Baxter bots.
Do you really think one of us have the power to make some dude fly and glow? And that's not in any of our movesets.
You're the ones that destroyed the Baxter building, leading to Dr. Phantasma's creation.
You've been drinking the Kool-Aid, man. Just, that's not us at all. I'm reasonably sure that's your boss.
A quick check-in. Paleo Girl, there's a robot, or the giant building mech that I've been having loom in the distance, is now close enough that it's bringing its hand down to try to... Oh, wait, no, you all were teleporting. I forgot about that completely. Go ahead, Vaporwave. Roll to unleash your powers to find out how that works out for you all.
Yeah, I got 7. That's not so bad. I'm going to mark guilty because I still feel bad about leaving Forgefire behind to try and figure things out for himself.
All right. And tell me, how are you teleporting in? Like, are you going straight for the top? Are you going for, like, the middle? What's this look like on the page?
I think I would aim for kind of, like, the largest exterior flat surface, so like a shoulder maybe, if I could, and try and get us up to that point, because that puts us pretty close to being able to get to the head, which is where I assume Bryant Baxter is.
I asked to go inside, but okay, whatever. You're the one teleporting.
I don't know if I can teleport inside like that.
We'll say you can. It's cool to have you do that.
Okay, then I want to go right into it then.
All right, so we've got a panel of Bryant Baxter at the sort of control panel of this building, bringing a hand down to crush Warlock when the two of you teleport in behind him. What you gonna do?
I want to punch him.
Just run up and punch?
Yes.
Okay, let me just grab a dictionary real quick and look up directly engage a threat. Oh, look, it's that. Roll that for me, please.
Okay, can also, I mean, obviously we took along Chompy with us. Can Chompy also nip at him?
Yeah, give me a panel description. What's going on? What's this look like?
So we teleport in, and I feel like... Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like Vaporwave has, like, a moment's hesitation, because we're just, like, in the head, the teleportation went perfectly, we are right there. Amber does not have that moment.
Yeah, I think Vaporwave definitely hesitates.
Yeah, Amber does not. She runs forward, kind of, not, like, tossing, but you know what I mean? Like, you just kind of, like, tossing... Chompy down, and both of them just charge forward. Amber goes to just fucking cold cock him in like the back or side of the head, while Chompy goes to bite at his ankle.
Alright, go ahead and roll to directly engage a threat for me.
Okay.
And take your plus one.
Yes. That's a 9. I'm so worried I was gonna fail that.
I would use some team if I could.
You all do have one team in the pool, so how are you helping?
So after Vaporwave's brief hesitation, I think he's going to manifest a laser golf club and just throw it at Bryant Baxter's shins, because that's going to hurt.
All right. Amber, you get to pick two off of the list.
Awesome. I would like to impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition and create an opportunity for my allies outside.
Valid.
Also, this is my first potential because I punched someone I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, that's fair. So let's see, what kind of opportunity are you thinking here? Like, do you have an idea for that, or?
I mean, I would like him to maybe not crush them with the giant robot hand.
Yeah, that's fair. So I think, like, you run up, and in this triple team effort, the three of you are able to punch Bryant Baxter. Well, I guess only the one of you's punching. But regardless, you, like, clock him straight across the jaw, and we get that good panel of, like, his face following off to the side that you punch. And then he looks at you and just sort of, like, smirks, and he says, "The failed experiment comes back. This is gonna be fun." And let's jump on over back to Axel and Odyssey. The two of you just heard that Blue Bomber is Bryant Baxter's grandson. To sort of set the ages, Bryant Baxter is like late 20s. Blue Bomber is somewhere in his teens. The math does not really work out for him to be Blue Bomber's grandkid or grandfather. So what's your all's reactions there?
Axel just stares just straight into Blue Bomber's mask and with complete and utter confusion. Odyssey, do you get this?
He's a time traveler. That makes so much more sense than what is going on right now, I think.
Does it?
I mean, it explains why he's so blindly loyal to him, I guess.
I was gonna apologize for not telling you about that, but that's a little bit rude.
I mean, it's also true, unfortunately.
You are protecting him even though he's controlling a giant building filled with people, and also tried to kill my sister.
Odyssey, you're one of us too, aren't you?
That's a hard question, buddy.
Is it a hard question? They are working, Shell and Baxter are working together, and it looks like he is trying to kill all of our friends again.
Odyssey, you signed up to protect this city. Don't tell me you're going to go back on that now.
I'm trying to. That's the problem here. I mean, on your side, you know, we've done some things that could be seen as helpful, but recently there have been a lot of different circumstances that might not mean that we are still doing that.
Wait, you were working for them?
Well, I mean,
Wait, were you trying to attack me before?
They arrested me, Axel.
Oh, no, I'm not mad at you or anything. I was just wondering.
I was working for them, yes.
Okay.
It was that or jail.
Don't act like you've only done this to get out of jail time. Nico, I know you. You're one of us. You belong with us way more than you belong with anarchists like this guy.
I just woke up. There are anarchists? Dude, that's sick. I don't know what anarchists are, but that sounds cool as shit.
Axel's not an anarchist, trust me. He's a big puppy.
And sometimes puppies piss on things and chew things they're not supposed to and need to be scolded.
I feel like you're right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to grab at his helmet and try to rip it off.
Okay, quick check-in. Odyssey, how are you reacting as this happens?
I'm not trying to hurt him.
That's the thing. I'm just trying to take off his helmet.
Could I assume that, or am I assuming that's a big dragon boy? He is trying to hurt my friend.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably hard to tell in this instance.
Understandable.
Sorry, Axel, but you are the way that you are.
I am the way that I am.
Okay. I mean, I love you, Axel, but I also really want to protect Blue because, against all odds, we're friends. So yep. I would like to attempt to defend him.
All right. So, quick check. Axel, you're going to roll to directly engage a threat because you're trying to take something from him.
All right.
And then we'll see what goes on after that.
I have influence over him, so I get a plus one. I do it. That's a 13. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I have danger 3 and I have influence, so that's 4.
Okay, so yeah, you get to do the shit out of whatever it is you want to do.
So I will take something from him, and I will resist and avoid their blows. And what I think this is, like, as one hand reaches for the mask, I think, I imagine Odyssey will, like, try to stop him in some way. Mm-hmm. And you just see him almost too gently grab at the mask, and, like, you see the claws go in just enough and pull back. And it looks delicate, like, way more delicate than he's, whatever, like, anything he's done, and he just pulls it back and takes it off and just holds the piece there.
Quick check in, Odyssey. Have you seen Blue Bomber without? Yeah, you've seen him without his mask. He's when you all were training at the beginning of this arc, he did.
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Like, as you look at him this time, knowing that he's Bryant Baxter's grandson, mm-hmm. you know, like when you see somebody and realize that they're related to someone else, and suddenly you start seeing, like, all their little resemblances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he looks a lot more like Bryant Baxter than he did before you realized that.
Mm-hmm.
How are you reacting? Assuming you, even without rolling the defend, you've probably, like, moved in on the two of them?
Yeah, I mean, he's got, like, the arm, like, reached out, and he was about to yell at Axel. And, like, as soon as he can see his face, he takes a second. He's like, fuck me, he does actually kind of look like him. That's weird.
You're right. Well, Blue, what or whatever your name is, I'm not trying to hurt people. I was made to hurt people, and I don't want to do that anymore.
You're trying to hurt my grandfather, are you not?
I'm trying to make sure he doesn't hurt my friends.
Then talk them down. And let's put a stop to this.
Your grandfather is driving a giant mech full of people. He is evil. He is putting everyone in there at risk.
And your friends aren't by attacking this place like terrorists?
When we are in here against our will?
Then leave. Nobody's trying to keep you here.
I mean, you were.
He runs, like, his hand through his hair, and he says, just leave, Axel. Leave and stop this so-called hero shit, and all of this will be over. That's all Baxter wants. That's all, is to protect this city and to stop more people from dying like Filter did.
I think you see Axel's grip on the mask, like, basically crunch the glass.
Quick thing, you want to take a powerful blow there for me, Axel?
I would love to. Let's go for it. Why not? All right.
So that's a 9. You get to pick one from the list.
I'm going to go for it. I'm going to struggle past the pain. I'm going to take 2 conditions, and I'm going to take the last 2 conditions. And I will, you see him, like, Odyssey would see him crush the mask, and you can tell that he is mad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just made him pissed. And you see him drop the mask and put a hand firmly on Blue's shoulder and just say to him, she died because of Bryant Baxter. That villain was because of him, and you know that. You can't keep lying to yourself. I understand that he's blood. But you can't fight for someone who is willing to put innocent people, teenagers' lives at risk and destroy them for personal gain. Please. Just. We're not trying to kill him. If this is about if this is some all time travel bullshit, we're not trying to kill him. We just don't want him to have power anymore.
What do you think your friend did when he gathered up a team of teenagers and brought them into this campus just to what? To attack us? Like, that's not for personal gain?
We were trapped in here against our will.
You're dangerous. I want to cut to Technovore and Forgefire. There is a giant robot hand that's about to come down on Warlock. It gets stopped, or rather, it stops like a foot above his head, maybe. Blitzkrieg is trying to fight Warlock. Forgefire, you realize that Blitzkrieg probably isn't the hero you thought he was. What's going on with the two of you?
Technovore, without the mob of bodies on him, like, we just see his big, weird, bulky, kind of gross form, and he takes just a bite out of a Baxter bot that he has just in one hand at this point. Again, he's like Hulk sized, and throws the legs down onto the ground, and that hand that stops just above Warlock's head, he walks up and pulls his fist back and just punches the hand as hard as he can.
Fantastic. I will get to the ramifications of that in a second. What's going on with Forgefire?
I think that as Warlock is giving his speech, and this is all kind of sinking in, and things are being reframed in Forgefire's mind. Perhaps calculations are going on. He doesn't understand that he's a computer or the robot. And I think we get like a panel of just his fist clenching and starting to glow like hotter and hotter and hotter. And I think probably like in exactly the same moment that Technovore goes to attack this giant fist, I am going to just like leap full bore at Blitzkrieg.
All right. Forgefire, roll to directly engage a threat for me, please.
I am also, would you say that I would like to say that I'm charging into this fight without hedging my bets.
Oh, for sure.
Because that will, like, I'm just like going full on. That will trigger my punch everyone move, which lets me shift up my danger and down another label. So I'm going to shift up label, up danger. And I'm going to shift down my superior because I'm feeling like maybe I don't fully understand the situation here.
Yeah, that clocks.
Yeah. So now my danger is a 2 and I rolled a 10.
Nice. Go ahead and pick 2 from the list for me.
I am going to... I would like to create an opportunity for my allies. I want to allow Warlock to be able to do something here. And also impress, surprise, or frighten Blitzkrieg. Because like I think that they sort of I felt a little dismissed before. And I'm the hero here. They don't know what they're talking about. And in fact, they're probably the villain, it sounds like. And so I'm trying to surprise them.
All right, so describe for me, how is it that you're attacking him?
I think it starts as just like a straight up tackle. Like, I think I've just like full on like thrown myself at Blitzkrieg. And I think in particular, the way that we then fight is like I am trying to just like block all of their attacks and keep them, I'm trying to push them further and further away from Warlock too.
Yeah, I think like the way that the two of you are fighting, you're definitely like concentrating on getting him away from Warlock. So you're less focused on like avoiding his blows, and he gets in some pretty solid shots.
Yeah.
He is pretty strong and very like combat trained. I'm going to need you, I don't think it's enough to take a powerful blow, but I need you to mark a condition there for me.
Okay. I'm going to mark insecure. I do think that a little bit of what this looks like too is like, as Blitzkrieg throws a punch, Forgefire throws a punch, and we kind of like, I just like punch his fist, and then every time that he's throwing another punch at me, I'm throwing a punch at his fist, so we're just kind of like constantly like punching each other's punches. But obviously, he's maybe a little faster, which is why a couple of them do land.
That's perfect. So we get a close-up of your fist colliding with his, which is then superimposed on Technovore punching the hand of the giant robot and just sending shockwaves up this building. We then slide into the top floor office as the floor underneath you starts to shake. And Paleo Girl, Brian Baxter just called you a failed experiment with a smirk on his face. How you reacting?
Call me whatever you want, you fucking invertebrate. Just fight me.
So you're in a rush to throw your life away. After your parents sacrificed themselves to save it.
I'm in a rush to kick your ass.
I think that Vaporwave is gonna run up and knee Bryant Baxter in the stomach really hard.
Vaporwave, as you're charging at him, I want to set this scene a little bit because, like, this room on the top floor, like, the walls are basically made out of TV screens or screens of various sorts, the way that you might expect it to be. And as you're charging towards him, one of them right behind him flicks on. And Vaporwave, you see on this screen a security camera feed that shows your mom in a jail cell. And that's where we're ending our issue for this week.
If you liked what you heard, the best way to let us know is on Twitter at @TTRPGRoulette.
Or leaving us a review on your podcatcher of choice.
If you do leave us a review, let us know so we can give you a shout out in a future episode.
You can also support us financially on Patreon at patreon.com/TTRPGRoulette.
There, you can get access to bonus content such as character creation episodes, blooper reels, an art gallery, and much more.
Our music was created by Neil Martin, who you can find on Twitter at @BardicMartin.
Our logo was created by Lee, who you can find on Twitter at @TheLawOfNames or on his Masks AP, Otherwhere.
We want to give a very special shout out to our patrons, including Landon Cornell, MC of Shadows of St. Fleur, Reed, Dusty, Silva, Vanessa Haas, Zeke, Gnome, and Daniel.
Hello world, we're Big Gay Nerds, the LGBT plus RPG podcast.
BGN is a bunch of queer friends who want an excuse to play tabletop games and share the fun with you.
And because we regularly jump between systems and parties, we have a little bit of everything.
We have one-shots, we have campaigns.
We have supernatural college drama and supernatural college academia.
We have dungeons and we have dragons.
We have the tragedy of GJ237B. We have Waiting for Godot, the role-playing game.
We have gloom-punk criminals. We have mecha diplomats.
We have a diceless, GM-less, soulsborne lore simulator. And we have maids.
And we're making it all gay. You can listen to us on SoundCloud and iTunes, follow @BigGayNerdsCast on Twitter, and hang out with us in our BGN fan club Discord server.